אתם עם SBS בעברית. לעוד סיפורים מעניינים, כנסו ל-sbs.com.au.
שלום אוסטרליה. U.S. Secretary of State Pompeo wrapped up 2 days in Israel on Friday. On Thursday, Pompeo became the first Secretary of State to visit an Israeli settlement when he visited at the Psagot Winery in the West Bank, which had named one of its wines after him, following his announcement last year that the Trump administration would no longer see Israeli settlements in the West Bank as contrary to international law. Pompeo announced a new policy allowing settlement products exported to the US to be labeled Made in Israel and an initiative to combat the BDS boycott movement, which he said would be designated as anti-Semitic. Bahraini Foreign Minister Abdullatif bin Rashid Al-Zayani visited Jerusalem on Wednesday, meeting with Pompeo and Prime Minister Netanyahu. Media in Bahrain falsely stated that Al-Zayani's meetings with Prime Minister Netanyahu and President Reuven Rivlin were in Tel Aviv, not Jerusalem. Israeli warplanes struck Iran-linked targets in Syria overnight Tuesday after troops uncovered roadside bombs along the frontier in the Golan Heights. Syria state media said the strikes killed 3 Syrian soldiers. A Syrian war monitoring group said the strikes killed 10, including the 3 Syrian soldiers and at least 5 Iranians. An Iranian official denied any Iranians were killed in the strikes. An IDF investigation has determined that a pair of lightning strikes were responsible for setting off 2 rockets that were launched into Israel from Gaza last Sunday. One rocket landed in an open field north of Ashdod, and the second struck Palmachim Beach south of Tel Aviv, causing neither damage or injury. The Palestinian Authority announced on Tuesday that it was renewing security and civil ties with Israel, which were severed 6 months ago amid Israel's plans for unilateral West Bank annexation, a move that has since been suspended. Protests against Prime Minister Benjamin Netanyahu were held at sites across Israel on Thursday evening, Friday morning, and last night, as part of ongoing demonstrations over the Premier's indictment on corruption charges and his handling of the COVID-19 pandemic. Small groups of Netanyahu supporters have confronted protesters. Last night there was an arrest after a Netanyahu supporter broke the windshield of a car driven by a protester, causing injury to the driver. Outrage grew on Wednesday after supporters of Netanyahu hurled insults at neighbours of the Prime Minister because they hosted a group of anti-Netanyahu protesters. One member of a group of pro-Netanyahu protesters who gathered outside the Caesarea home of the family of the late Captain Tom Farkash, who fell fighting in Lebanon, on Tuesday evening shouted, "There is a God, and he punished her. I wish upon her another lost child." Farkash's mother, Anat, said our son gave his life so that they, their children, and all the residents of the State of Israel will have a safe life. How did we get here? Shame on the police, who allowed them to stand under our window. Private citizens that did nothing. Defence Minister Benny Gantz spoke with Farkash's father to extend his support. Opposition leader Yair Lapid called on Netanyahu to condemn the incident at the Farkash's home. President Reuven Rivlin added his voice, saying that no excuses could be made for what had happened. He said, "This is not our way." The president also condemned remarks from anti-Netanyahu protesters. During a protest on Wednesday night in Rosh Ha'ayin, outside the home of Defence Minister Benny Gantz, Sadi Ben Shitrit of the Crime Minister Organisation addressed the Prime Minister saying, "In the 30s there was an oppressor of Jews. He was in Germany and he behaved exactly like you, sowing divide, inciting and destroying. Comparisons to Hitler or any aspect of the Nazi programme is considered beyond the pale in Israel." The coronavirus cabinet on Friday imposed 5-day lockdowns on the northern towns of Nazareth and Isfia due to rising virus case numbers in the largely Arab, Israeli and Druze locales. The ministers also approved week-long extensions to lockdowns in the central town of Kalansawe and the northern Druze town of Bukata. 7 shopping malls throughout Israel opened on Friday morning in violation of coronavirus restrictions. Street front stores have recently been allowed to reopen, and on Tuesday, open-air shopping malls were also reopened, leading to anger by managers of closed shopping centres and complaints that they were being discriminated against. Malls that opened against the rules stressed that they are taking all precautions while opening, limiting any crowding and following all health guidelines enforced elsewhere. 5,008 people were diagnosed with the coronavirus over the last week, a figure that is 16.8% higher than the previous week. 38 Israelis died over the past week. The total virus death toll stands at 2,744. Prime Minister Benjamin Netanyahu announced on Friday that Israel is in the final stages of talks with British pharmaceutical firm AstraZeneca to purchase millions of doses of its vaccine, which is currently under trial, following similar deals with Moderna and Pfizer. Israel's domestically produced coronavirus vaccine will likely be ready for the public by the summer. The vaccine, called Brylife, was developed by the Defence Ministry's Institute for Biological Research. The first phase of clinical trials began earlier this month. Fighting in Ethiopia's northwest claimed its first victim from Gondar's Jewish community on November the 12th, Gimwe Gete, 36. He had been waiting with his family to emigrate to Israel for 24 years and is survived by his partner and their 4-year-old daughter. In its letter on Monday to the Prime Minister Benjamin Netanyahu and Finance Minister Israel Katz, the Campaign for the Aliyah of Ethiopian Jews urged Israel to fulfill its previously made promises to airlift 9,000 Jews here as a matter of urgency. 5 years after he was released from prison, where he had served 28 years for spying for Israel, Jonathan Pollard is now free to come on Aliyah. The US Justice Department on Friday declined to extend his parole. His wife Esther is currently undergoing treatment for cancer, but the two plan to move here as soon as she is able to do so. Both President Rivlin and Prime Minister Netanyahu welcomed the US decision. A broad coalition of 750 Jewish studies scholars and directors of Jewish and Holocaust museums has signed a petition opposing the proposed appointment of Effie Etam to chair Yad Vashem. Prime Minister Benjamin Netanyahu advanced Etam's candidacy earlier this year. Etam is a former decorated general in the IDF and was a government minister who led a right-wing religious Zionist party. His critics say he's unfit to lead the institution because he called for most Palestinians in the West Bank to be expelled and for Arab Israelis to be excluded from the country's political system. Etam was also reprimanded by the IDF's chief of staff because soldiers under his command beat a Palestinian to death. Signatories of the petition include Susanna Heschel and Deborah Lipstadt, the current and former directors of the Buchenwald Memorial and Jewish museums in Budapest, Warsaw, Munich and elsewhere. A number of people had to be rescued from their homes and vehicles yesterday morning after heavy rainfall caused flooding in Tel Aviv, Haifa and Nes Ziona. In Nes Ziona, 25 houses were damaged by floodwaters. Tel Aviv's Rokach Boulevard, Herbert Samuel and Allenby streets were closed due to flooding, and motorists were advised to find alternative and safe routes. Mount Hermon saw its first snow flurries of the winter season. Last night, Israeli judoka Peter Palchik won the gold medal for judo in the weight category of up to 100 kilograms on the final day of the European Judo Championship. President Reuven Rivlin congratulated Palchik on his achievement, saying that our hearts expanded at the sight of the summit you conquered tonight in Prague. This is Peter Jones Pelach reporting for SBS Radio from Jerusalem. עקבו אחרינו והפיצו אותנו דרך דף הפייסבוק שלנו.